Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. Pleasure to have you here, and always wonderful to have you connecting with us as we have fascinating conversations with extraordinary guests who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. And somebody that's been doing that for a long time and who I recently had the opportunity to personally meet when we did a television video interview with him on location at the University of Maryland, where he's Professor Emeritus, the renowned and extraordinary physicist, Dr. Young-Soo Kim, who was born in a farming and fishing village in Korea, and he spent his teenage years in Seoul and completed his high school education in 1954. And in September of 1954, Dr. Kim came to the United States to become a freshman at the Carnegie Institute of Technology, which is now Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And while studying physics there, he heard about many famous people in the United States, including Albert Einstein, who was based at Princeton University. He went to Princeton University, Dr. Kim, in 1958 to pursue graduate work in physics and also to meet Albert Einstein. You know, even though he died in 1955, in 1962, Dr. Kim became an assistant professor of physics at the University of Maryland. However, the reaction from American physicists was, Dashin is a genius, but Kim is only Korean. And they sent him back to Korea, if you could imagine that. What he endured is extraordinary. Dr. Kim thus went to his old Princeton professor for help, but his reaction was even worse. Never come to Princeton again. However, the University of Maryland looked at Dr. Kim's case carefully, and he was promoted to associate professor with permanent tenure in 1968. After retiring from teaching duties in 2007, Dr. Kim became a professor of physics emeritus at the University of Maryland, and as a result, he retired from teaching and has been focusing full-time on his extensive research. And so many other physicists have shown their respect in later years for him, and he has also shown respect as well to Murray Gell-Mann and Paul Dirac and so many others. He believes in what he believes in. He's endured a lot of hardship and delays in promotion, but he succeeded, and that's what he's most proud of. My pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio renowned physicist and professor emeritus, Dr. Young-Soo Kim. Dr. Kim, welcome back to the program. It's an honor and a privilege to have you with us today. Dr. Kim? I think your phone, the volume on your phone is very, very low. We can't hear you.
I don't know why.
There you go. Now we hear you now. I don't know if you changed something.
Okay, all right.
You're perfect. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kim.
Yes?
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Okay, there was some inaccuracy there. You said that Dashin is a genius and you are Korean, right?
That's the quote they have listed here, yes.
Yes, what do they say? The reason is this. I proved that Dashin was wrong.
Yes, you did.
That's
what American physicists were saying, yes.
Okay, well,
right,
what does it say? 1966,
says,
1965, yeah, Princeton appointed a genius named Roger Dashin.
Right.
I became very, very unhappy, and I had to prove that his paper is wrong, right?
That's right.
Because I had a Herod complex, you know, King Herod, right?
Right, yeah, right.
And then, okay, that part, I guess that's missing, isn't it? No?
So what it has is it says the reaction from American physicists was that Dashin is a genius, but Kim is
you're
only Korean.
That is important.
Sent him back to Korea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that is that was the American attitude. It's understandable.
That was the American attitude. Exactly.
Yeah, that's understandable. Okay, but United States has been very nice to me because I'm still here, right?
Yeah, that's right. We want to recap for the listeners today who are not familiar. Tell us about your background and the extraordinary work that you do.
Okay, fine. All right, now, let's see. Okay, I was a student at the Carnegie Institute of Technology, right?
Right.
And then I received a letter from Princeton saying that I rank very high among the students, among the 15 students admitted to graduate program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think I was very happy?
Yes, absolutely.
And Einstein's name was still hanging on the Princeton at that time. Einstein died in 1955, but still going to Princeton meant talking to Einstein, right?
Right.
Okay, fine, that's all. Another one is this. 1962, I came to University of Maryland as an assistant professor. It's quite a bit of a demotion from Princeton. But nevertheless, I studied papers very carefully, and Princeton produced a young genius named Roger Dashin, right?
Yes.
And I became very, very unhappy because I thought I was genius and that guy is a genius. Okay, so I looked at his paper and his paper is wrong, right?
Right.
That part is missing in your statement.
We want you to say that. That's what it is. We want you as the person who's been through all of this to share this story with our listeners, which you're doing quite well, as you're so good at doing.
Okay, that means okay. You that part you explained that part okay, right? Isn't it?
Right.
So
exactly.
That part is then I became very very unhappy that I had to prove that he was wrong, right? And I did.
Right.
Then reaction from the American physics community: the Dashin is a genius. You are on your career and go home. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But you didn't listen to that. You forged on.
I don't know. Did you say that?
You went to speak with the professor at Princeton, right?
Yeah, my own advisor, Princeton University.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And what was
his
reaction?
And then he said he could not understand.
He couldn't understand.
And he said never come back to Princeton, okay?
Yeah.
He used to say we are dirty oriental all the time, okay? But let's not say they dirty oriental, okay? It was racist.
Right.
At that time,
that's
it was like this.
Then
I thought that those people lacked the brain somehow.
Yeah.
So I studied Eugene Wigner's paper. He was totally isolated. At that time, then I found out that Eugene Wigner was totally isolated because those people did not have enough brain power to understand his paper.
Yeah.
Understandable?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Then I studied Wigner's paper and I wrote about many papers about his paper and extending his 1939 paper to high energy physics of 1960s. Understandable.
Yes, absolutely.
And then
yes.
I went to the Princeton and explained Wigner about his own paper. So Wigner became very, very happy, and he asked me to write a paper. I guess I published 7 papers with him, so I became Wigner's student. Okay?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, even going back in time a little bit, when you were growing up in Korea, how did you endure the hardships when growing up in Korea with imperialist Japan and World War II?
Okay, all right, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
I was born in 1935. Then I attended elementary school there. From elementary school, those Japanese first us to speak Japanese only in school. Okay? Japanese language and Korean language are different. Okay?
Yes.
But very similar. So I had to speak Japanese in school and then Korean in my with my family at home. Okay?
Exactly.
And then those Japanese taught us to how to handle their rifle and how to throw a hand grenade. Those small kids. That's during
yes.
the World War II. They were fighting against America.
that's quite a bit, you know.
Well, isn't it? Okay, that's one thing. That's the next thing is this. Then Japan surrendered after the two nuclear bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? 1945.
Yes.
We all thought that America would come. But the Russian troops came, okay, Soviet troops, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Soviet troops, they sent in the form of prisoners. Those Russian units consist of former prisoners. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
They were robbing people and raping Korean women.
Yeah.
And another thing is this, they were setting up the communist regime in North Korea.
Yeah.
Okay, so our family moved down to South by bribing the border guard, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, understandable?
Yeah. Yes,
and then,
absolutely.
Then I finished the elementary school and the high school, and I was a very good student in high school. I became freshman at the Carnegie Institute of Technology, Carnegie Mellon University. 1954.
What was your experience like there at the Carnegie Institute of Technology?
Did not have too much experience. The reason is I stayed in the dormitory. I spent most of the time studying. My American friends were very friendly to me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, that's fantastic. They were helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, American friends in Connecticut were very, very friendly to me. So, but I didn't care much about my social life. I only spend my time on studying, nothing else. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So I got all A's, and then I was admitted to Princeton. 1958.
Where Albert Einstein went. Yeah, that was very important for you.
Okay,
wasn't it?
Well, Albert Einstein died. Okay, let's put it this way. When I was a freshman at the Carnegie Tech, I was going to study electrical engineering. After Einstein died in 1955, I decided to study physics and go to Princeton and talk to Einstein, okay?
Yeah, right.
Many people thought in that way. Many people went to Princeton to talk to Einstein after Einstein died, right?
Yeah, right, yep.
Okay, I'm one of them.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when I went to Princeton, I was a very good student there also. So I finished my PhD degree in 3 years. It's a phenomenon, okay?
Right.
With the younger professors. But on the other end, the thesis topics for all the younger people was just nonsense physics, okay?
Right.
But after coming to University of Maryland in 1962 and 1965, I found out that those papers are nonsense papers, okay? I proved it. Nonsense. They are nonsense. Princeton people are doing nonsense. Okay?
Right.
And then, look, Princeton people are genius. You're on your Korean. You go back to Korea, okay? Makes sense, right?
Back then, oh, yeah. interesting. Oh,
makes sense. Yeah, even these days it makes sense, okay? Princeton is a genius, and you are only a Korean, okay?
Yeah.
So I contacted my thesis advisor, and he said, you dirty Korean, never come back to Princeton. Okay?
Yeah.
Then I thought that there was something wrong with Princeton, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with Princeton was that there was a professor isolated, totally isolated from the rest of the physics department. He's Eugene Paul Wigner. He's a Nobel Prize winner, 1960. Okay?
Yes.
So I decided to study his paper more carefully. And I spent 20 years to write the papers extending his mathematical paper. And then I approached Wigner, and he became very, very happy. So I started publishing papers with Wigner from 1987 to 1990. So I became known as a Wigner student, don't you think? I went to Princeton, I wrote a paper as a Wigner, okay?
Exactly.
That's how I established myself. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. I said many times, this is possible only because I'm in the United States. No other country can offer this kind of opportunity, right?
Right.
All right, fine. All right, that's it. Okay.
Well, it's extraordinary. It really is an amazing story.
Okay,
I
like that story. Okay, I saw what. Okay.
Yes, you lived it. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, while there were, even though you were in Princeton, there were the challenges of the Herod complex, prejudice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Princeton people are just assholes, okay? I cannot say that publicly, okay? Just an asshole,
well,
full of assholes. Okay?
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they are?
Because they are pampered. They are number one. The Princeton, in order to be a graduate student at Princeton, okay, your background is you have to be a number one boy in high school, right?
Right.
And if you are number one boy in high school, then you have a Herod complex, okay?
Yeah.
I have a Herod complex. I can understand them, okay?
You're right.
understand that?
Yeah.
Do you understand the word meaning Herod complex, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, Herod, he's a king, and someone else was a king, and he called all the babies to be killed, right?
Right.
So the Princeton people, they everything. I'm the genius, who else could be genius, right?
Right.
Understand that one, okay.
Yeah.
Right, very good.
Yeah. There's extraordinary people, like you say, that have gone to Princeton. Jeff Bezos, who started Amazon. John F. Kennedy went to Princeton. Michelle Obama went to Princeton.
And also this the chairman of the Mark Milley.
Yes. Yeah. Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Stewart, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Grover Cleveland, James Madison, Robert Mueller.
Sonia
Sotomayor,
and also yes, and also even recently that the chairman of the Joint Chief, Mark Milley.
Yeah, yes. When
did you know
that
he was a Princeton man?
Princeton as well, yeah.
Princeton Rotsey.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Richard Feynman, of
course. Okay, fine. All right, fine. Very good. Okay. All right. Very
incredible.
Good. So my classmates all had a Herod complex, right?
Yes. But then comes calling the University of Maryland. How did that happen? How did they find you and approach you?
Oh, University of Maryland. The reason is this. University of Maryland was the only place where when they are going to support my permanent immigrant visa for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I had a student visa before. I had to change it to permanent visa. Okay, and also University of Maryland, the chairman of the department was a Princeton man, and he hired many Princeton people. So going from Princeton to Maryland was not a strange thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I came to University of Maryland, and that's near Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a capital city of the United States, right?
Right.
But it's a, did you know that capital city, Washington, D.C. is also capital city of South Korea?
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I enjoyed my Korean life here. Understand that, right? Okay.
Absolutely
fine.
Right. Yes.
So
absolutely.
I came here in 1966. It's almost 70 years.
Extraordinary, isn't it? It's incredible.
Yeah, very good. But on the other hand, as far as the physics is concerned, I thought I could follow what Princeton people are doing, right?
Right.
And the Princeton people made a terrible mistake. Did I say that? There's a Fauci fiasco or something like this?
No, tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, 1965. Oh, yeah, okay, that's very important. Princeton hired young genius, Princeton Institute for Advanced, that's Einstein's Institute, hired a young genius named Roger Deschen.
Mm-hmm.
And he calculated the proton-neutron mass difference. Proton and neutron are very similar particles. Okay, proton.
Yes.
One of the
course.
Elementary particles, the proton. And then there is another elementary particle, neutron. One is charged and the other one is not. There is a slight mass difference. It's a great challenge to calculate that mass difference. So Roger Deschen calculated that mass difference using some fake theory. I proved that his theory is faked in 1966. At that time, University of Maryland was considering my promotion to associate professor. At that time, Deschen is a genius. You are Korean. Go home.
Yeah.
Okay. So I approached my Princeton professor at Princeton. Hey, you guys made a mistake. So he said, I never come back to Princeton. You dirty Korean, okay? Okay, that was their attitude. But nevertheless,
yeah.
University of Maryland looked at my case very carefully. Then they decided that I was right. That's the reason I was given a tenure. I'm sitting here. Okay?
Yeah.
Understand that?
Absolutely, yeah.
But nevertheless, after this, I said that Princeton people could not understand the mistake Deschen made. They cannot resolve that case. So they thought, that's the reason why they could not understand the Wigner's paper. Wigner was totally isolated, right?
Exactly.
Then I started studying Wigner's paper and tried to do something about it. Okay?
You found a hole in Einstein's theory, which is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, I understand. Okay, yeah. All right, let's go get into that. So Wigner's mathematics, Wigner, allows me to look at the hole in Einstein's theory. Okay, let's put it this way. When Einstein formulated the theory of relativity, proton is a particle, hydrogen atom is a particle, it's a point particle, and also you are also a point particle, okay?
Yeah.
Einstein formulated the theory of relativity for point particle. But Einstein did not know at that time hydrogen atom has a very rich inner structure. Atom is not a point particle, is it?
Right, correct.
Atom consists of a nucleus and electrons circling around, right?
Right.
Hydrogen atom is the simplest case, one electron or one proton.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein could not to what is happening inside that electron, hydrogen atom. Okay?
Right.
That's where I filled in.
That's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. When I tell people, they can't believe that somebody found a hole in Einstein's theory. They think it's extraordinary. And it really
okay,
is.
It's very easy to understand. When Einstein formulated the theory of relativity, it's just a point particle, okay? That was difficult enough. No question about it. It's a great theory. But Einstein could not consider that particle has an inner world, inside the world, okay?
Right.
Einstein thought the proton was a point particle, and the hydrogen was a point particle, and everybody in this world is a point particle. He formulated the theory of relativity for point particles. But Einstein forgot to formulate the particle inside the particle, right? Understandable?
Yes. Really,
and I solved the problem. What the heck is happening inside? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes. And you're constantly still working on research, all the time, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. It still fascinates you, doesn't it?
Oh yes.
Yeah. What is it about it that still fascinates you? Because you've done it so long.
What? Okay, the fascinating thing is to make my work understandable to others.
Yeah.
When I wrote those papers published in the professional journals, I could not think of the explaining in this way. Nowhere in my paper I mention Einstein. Okay?
That's right.
Relating my name to Einstein is a big honor, right? That's a big job.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody becomes jealous, and then people write a nasty report. In fact, one from Princeton professor told me that I am wrong, okay? Without giving me any reasons, okay?
Right.
And one French professor, Louis Michel, is very highly respected. He wrote my university professor to fire me, okay?
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Okay, I went through some exciting life.
Yes, and we're going to talk more about it because the show, this half hour has wrapped up already, which I cannot believe, but you'll be back on October 25th for our listeners, and then we'll dive into talking about quantum mechanics and much, much more. Dr. Kim, thank you so very much for joining us.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
I had, you are Jim Masters, right?
Yes, the host, yes.
And we met before, right? At campus, right?
We were there for the television shoot. It was fabulous.
Television
show.
And that television web page is missing. What's wrong?
Yes. They are connecting with you, so that way there you're going to be able to look at and download. I think what you did was you watched it, but you didn't get a chance to download the video yet as well. So they have already been reached out to. The editor has reached out, and they're sending that to you again. So that way there, you don't just watch it, but you can click download, and you can save it. So look for them to be reaching out to you, Doctor, very soon. So that way there, you can see the video again, and you can download it and enjoy it. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Kim. A real pleasure. We are speaking with renowned physicist Dr. Yong-Soo Kim. His website is ysfine, that's F-I-N-E, .com. It's a terrific website. Check it out. You can learn so much more about his extraordinary life, the things he's endured, the things he's discovered, and he's still doing research today. And I had the privilege to meet him when we were just about a month ago at the University of Maryland, where, again, he taught for so many years. He will be back with us on the 25th, October 25th. Looking forward to that, part two of our series. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. Dr. Young-Soo Kim. We appreciate him. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Kim. And thank everybody listening around the world for joining us. We've run out of time. I am your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, and join us again when Dr. Kim returns on October 25th. And I'll be back in a half hour with another great guest here on Close Up Radio. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.